If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Oh my God, I'm back again. Please, you've made it this far into the show and you still haven't shut this version of it off, deleted the file in anger, and gone over to therightstuff.biz/paywall to create a subscription and get rid of this nonsense. Please, do so. We'll both be happier for it.
This is tedious on therightstuff.biz.
All right. The Daily Show, 1108. I'm trying to think about the Hezbollah leader's speech this morning, but currently I'm being gaslit by the New York Times about Sam Bankman-Fried, so I can't really stay on topic. I don't know.
This is the what good stuff. The right stuff.
Apocalypse.
Well, it's just... Hold on. This is too loud. It's just like... It's like Uncanny Valley stuff of them trying to pretend that there wasn't a huge swindle like on purpose involved in Sam Bankman-Fried.
Oh, what did he that he didn't just rip people off?
Yeah, like we're trying to believe like he just like
oh it was a mistake.
He made just errors. Like didn't know what he was doing. They were just hapless young people. They are hapless young people. It's like not in the way like they were sent to like Judaize the alternative currency like market, and they failed at that. They didn't fail at like. Getting in on it and making a big like bunch of money for their investors, like no, it's like no, they failed at like they regressed to the heap. They were like the children of better Jews that came along and they just fucked it up.
They were basically.
So he was go ahead.
Well, I'm saying like SBX is what that was called, right? SBX or
SFX, SSPX,
whatever the fuck, FTX, yeah, whatever. Who fucking cares? The whole point of that was the whole point of that firm was the Jews take over crypto markets,
right?
That was like the whole point of it.
The story is that they actually blew it.
Yeah, they fucked up. That's
the story.
That's why Jews are willing to let him to go to jail.
Yeah, like he's going because
he fucked up.
He's convicted on 7 counts of fraud.
Yeah, no, they basically are like you're
I was expecting to hear this news in like 4 years.
No, I think that they kind of watched it. One, it's a big public scandal. The guy is a public villain. They're willing to put him in jail. Now he'll go to the nice kosher jail.
Is he a public villain?
He's a public villain.
Because every time I see him mentioned, it's a puff piece.
Yes.
Every time I see him mentioned, it is this softened, like, oh, the visionary, blah, blah, blah. Like this entire thing was just like, it was like he stubbed his toe, and it's tragic, and we all should feel bad about how he stubbed his toe.
We should feel bad for this fucking, Well, the thing is, it's...
What went wrong?
I see him similar to how, like...
How can he redeem
what's
himself?
What's funny is Jews are being a little bit softer on him than they were even on, like, Bernie Madoff in terms of their opinions, because Bernie Madoff was legitimately just ripping off Jews.
Yeah.
And
I don't think Bernie Madoff was sent. I think Bernie Madoff was just an organic. Like I'm just going to swindle people. Sam Bankman-Fried obviously was like, okay, you and this weird looking squirrel girl.
Yeah,
you guys are gonna ruin the Bitcoin market,
right? And the reason his company attracted so much investment wasn't because they had an innovative like JavaScript program trading platform, like live trading desk that you could use in your browser. It wasn't any of that shit. It's because he was a Jew. Because every other fucking crypto exchange platform has some fucking like live trading track prices fucking JavaScript shit in their browser, right? Every other one does. So what they attracted money and investment because they were kikes, and they fucked it up, and that's why kikes are willing for this guy to go to jail.
Hi, Alex. You did the thing where you ignore Alex for 10 minutes again.
That's fine.
Well, he's like looking at stuff.
I was trying to find this article about Arnold Schwarzenegger on anti-Semitism.
I've been told.
That sounds great.
There's a 13-minute Arnold Schwarzenegger message against hate floating around, and that I should watch it. And my reaction to that is like, I don't know if I have the physical constitution to watch that. I don't know, honestly, because can you imagine after the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel? That's what he's talking about. Watching Arnold Schwarzenegger for 13 minutes talking about.
I don't think I can watch him do anything for 13 minutes unless it's something he did like in the 80s.
I found what I was looking for.
What's amazing is you could watch every Arnold movie all the way through and you wouldn't get 13 minutes of dialogue from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's a good point.
True.
You know, Terminator 1, you get like 45 seconds.
Your boots, your clothes, your paraglider.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an article titled Arnold Schwarzenegger and Antisemitism, Voting Rights, and the Meaning of His Life, if anybody wants to Google that. But anyway, I was reading this last night, and a paragraph just jumped out at me. Read that paragraph. In recounting his path from movie star to humanitarian, Schwarzenegger recalled a phone call years ago from three rabbis connected with the Simon Wiesenthal Center. They were raising money to open the Museum of Tolerance in Los Angeles, the education arm of the Wiesenthal Center. They asked Schwarzenegger if he would introduce them to prominent Hollywood Jews who might be inclined to help.
Wait, why do they need him to introduce them?
Because Hollywood's not controlled by Jews.
But it's very strange. That, why would they?
Maybe they're like, because they're the shitty kind of Jew. They're like rabbis from the Wiesenthal Center. Like they're not the. They're the kind that are like not getting vaccinated and having like mass funerals in the middle of New York City.
I think it's far more likely they wanted a publicity stunt with Arnold than they actually needed his help to get in touch with a bunch of kikes. But yeah.
So they asked him specifically to get them in touch with the other Jews. That's funny.
Yeah, that I just don't believe that. I think that that's just like. He might be making that up to make himself look like he's more of a linchpin in the Jewish community than he is. I don't know. Who cares? Doesn't matter. But yeah, that's funny. Prominent Hollywood Jews. So wait, yeah, obviously, like rabbis can talk about prominent. Well, frankly, everyone understands that Hollywood is controlled by Jews. Like, I don't believe anybody. Every Disney A-log understands it. They just can't say it.
Ever heard that YouTube channel? Ever heard that metal band Austrian Death Machine?
No,
it's just metal. It's entirely comprised of Arnold Schwarzenegger catchphrases.
Okay.
Like, there's a song called Your Boots, Your Clothes, Your Motorcycle and shit like that.
Isn't it like Your Boots, Your Clothes, Your Jacket? Oh, yeah, Your Motorcycle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, all the songs are just like the shit that he would yell that sounded badass. Like, imagine you started adding, like, anti-Semitism to that.
They have a song called Fuck You, Asshole?
They have a song called, like, Get Me in Touch with Three Jews from Hollywood.
That would be funny. It's like track two, right after Your Boots, Your Clothes, Your Motorcycle. Like,
get me in touch with three Jews from Hollywood. And like an epic like drop C riff hits, just like slam.
I just thought it was funny because I'm reading this article and I see the phrase prominent Hollywood Jews. I'm like, wait, what? That sounds anti-Semitic.
Like,
what? Anti-Semitic conspiracy theory here.
Like you directed Terminator.
So you've got the Austrian painter or the Austrian death machine. Which one do you choose?
Yeah, Austrian painter.
Yeah, I know, but still.
That's the real death machine.
Well, no, that death machine's never been tried.
Well, Austrian death machine is sort of a funny because it's obviously trying to, like, play on Hitler. I mean, you would think. Maybe not. They might not be doing that.
Well, I was just referring to he's Austrian. Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
The real Austrian death machine is Gunther.
You're right.
Of course.
Oh my God. I was looking at Gunther Fellinger's YouTube channel, and he had on it like a 4.5 minute speech by the Israeli ambassador to Austria that was in front of some big Austrian building yesterday.
Yeah, there's a song called I Hope You Leave Enough Room for My Fist. I Eat Green Berets for Breakfast.
I'll have a song called Come Esta. Stick around.
That's the only three songs. Oh, hold on. Come with me if you want to live. One more rep. I'll be back. Krom.
These aren't even like the best.
Hello, California. Yeah, I need your clothes, your boots, your motorcycle. I'll get to the choppa.
Okay.
I am a cybernetic organism, living tissue over metal.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Probably like that one.
My CPU is a neural net processor. A learning computer.
What does it sound like?
I can pick anyone I choose. And I choose Ben Richards.
Oh, Ben Richards.
Yeah.
Not bad. It's got that, got that aughts, like, thin fucking, thin mid-rangey guitar tone.
Oh, that's not bad. Those arpeggios.
Okay, I heard him say, I hope you left enough room for my fist. I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
That was all I wanted to hear.
But I'm going to ram it up to your stomach and rip out your goddamn spine.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger has been close
here
to
is Sub-Zero
since he entered Hollywood, like before he entered Hollywood, actually. Joe Weider. He was trained by Joe Weider.
Oh, Joe Weider.
A famous
Joe Weidbro.
Famous Jewish bodybuilder.
Jewish.
So he greedy, that's the other thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Jewish. He was essentially groomed by Jews.
Yes. Greedy
everyone's
Jewish
coming
bodybuilders. Every day I'm just coming and coming. It's like the pump. It's like the feeling of coming. So all the time I'm just coming. It's
oh,
like,
is that God. The context of that?
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm.
He's talking about like the
I've
pump
only
you
ever,
feel after weightlifting.
I've only
is, like,
ever heard that
coming.
Like out of context, and I was like, "What is he doing? Like, why does that exist? I don't want it. And I just don't want to know."
So it's like, all the time I'm just coming. It's just, it's
that's
like,
not how I feel God. When I get a pump. I feel like, oh man, well, no, like, all the time
remember,
I'm wishing I could take a
Arnold
nap.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is being promoted by Jews.
Yeah,
so in this movie, what movie was that? That was
time.
Like that was the movie about bodybuilding, right? It was being before Conan, or was that after Conan? I don't remember. I don't fucking. I'm not like a connoisseur of this shit. I am actually a connoisseur of Arnold movies, but whatever.
Still haven't seen Commando.
Commando is actually one of the least memorable ones, to be honest with you.
Ah, shit.
I don't. I've seen it. I don't remember.
I've also
it.
Never seen Raw Deal. Those are the two I gotta watch.
I've never seen Raw Deal.
Raw Deal like pops up on.
You know what? I've never seen Twins, which is.
Oh, I've never seen one either. That doesn't.
Kindergarten Cop. I watched
that
but,
one's okay.
Like,
even then, it's frustrating. You know, the worst one is that Christmas one he did with the.
I've never seen Jingle All the Way either.
That shit sucks. Even with Sinbad, it sucks.
No, I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch comedy movies with Arnold.
You don't
want to
watch. You don't
want
to watch Arnold be kind of like a deadbeat dad.
No, that's dumb.
Like not,
it doesn't
it's
make
not
sense.
Coming through for his kid.
The idea
that
this
like
jacked
the entire,
up fucking square headed German dude is like just an average suburban dad. Just
the
doesn't
entire
swing
joke
for me.
Is like the entire joke is like the not coming through for his kid and never keeping up. Like the typical like 90s.
Yeah,
your parents are divorced and that's fine. But he's actually not divorced. He's on the road to it. Like. He continues breaking promises to like do this or that for the kid and for the wife, and they're starting to feel like very like daddy's not there for us.
All right, and he's got to get that one toy,
and so it just escalates like, into like his antics, like trying to get this one toy all around town, where the entire like movie wouldn't exist if you had just bought the toy like in September when your wife
or if you were
you
just
to, or it's
if
like
you were
it's like lady,
time with your kid.
But it's also just like lady, you know that your husband's like this. Why didn't you go buy the toy in September? Like, why did you give this assignment to the most unreliable person you know, your husband? Like, husband, who I can't count on to do dick, go to the store and buy a toy.
Why are we talking about Arnold movies in the middle of this global crisis?
Because
well,
it's fun.
Well, I'm talking about what Jews like to do with family values and what they like to put out there that white people life is like. But I'm talking about Jingle, Wild,
yes,
Jingle All the
yes.
Way.
Yes, that was
it's
a
also,
very
it's been
typical...
a great like segue into talking about the 1990s, which was very nihilistic. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that you were raised by these broken boomers who were divorced from each other.
And that was... That was the theme of 90s film. Mm-hmm. It was also like, yeah. And it was telling you, like, this is what family
this is, what
is
supposed
like.
To
this
be.
Is what it's supposed to be like. It's like this. It's like this.
This is what you're going to be
had
like.
They had a really high divorce rate, so that a lot of these people, they didn't really grow up like that. Because that was kind of a little bit of a mystery, right? Like, why is it the 1990s when things are still kind of on the rails, economy's not all that bad, things materially are not that terrible? Why is everybody so nihilistic?
Because they're trying to push it off the rails, I think. I think they're trying to derail
well,
the train.
Yeah, part
it's
of
going
it was,
fairly well.
Well, here's what was interesting about my life in the 90s is that my parents divorced early when I was a baby. So they never lived together. I never remember a time when my dad and my mother lived in the same house. They always fucking hated each other. But very lots of animosity there. But friends of mine had intact families in my childhood. By the time we got to high school, all their parents were getting divorced and they were getting all fucked up by it. And I was actually normal by that point because I was like, oh, well, like I like went through it early and now they're getting all fucked up and they're having all kinds of like psychological
issues.
Well,
you issues. Do that to like a 14 year old. Like, yeah, it's like,
no, obviously.
Up.
That's
up.
Yes, that is such a common millennial Gen Xer story is like watching everybody in high school see their parents get divorced.
Yeah.
It's very common.
Yeah, it happened. Like my two best friends in high school, both of their parents split while we were like in high school and or like eighth grade to high school era, right? And like my parents had already been split. And when I was little, they would comment like, "Why is it that you go? Why do you go away on weekends? Every other weekend, why are you away?" And I was like, "Well, I'm going to visit my mom." And they were like, "Oh, right." And so Then, like, once we got a little bit older, then their parents freaking split up, and it really fucked
them up. You know my favorite thing out of all that fucking cultural subversion they did with that is the narrative they come up with where it's like, well, you have to do what's better for the kids, and sometimes it's better for the kids to get divorced.
That's not true.
It's like...
It's better for the kids. For
it's better for
the
kids for you to fucking like grit your teeth and hold it together inside.
Just figure
your
it
house.
Out. Yeah. Like, just not. How about just like don't take shit so hard. Like, what's the big deal? Like, what actually could be going on that's so terrible? Like, I don't actually.
Still listening to this version of the Daily Showa? Still haven't subscribed? Please go over to therightstuff.biz/paywall, grab a subscription, and you won't be interrupted with these sales pitches ever again.
Get it?
Well, you see a lot of. In the 90s, daytime programming and movie programming telling you that, like, that's the answer is to get out of the relationship because it's so hard. You're being so hard on yourself.
Well,
and
just, like, shut
your
up.
Your family is being ruined by staying together.
Well, just
and
shut
obviously
up.
Obviously, you have to get away from
it. But just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, it's just easy. Like, the woman should just shut up. I'm sorry, but that's, like, actually my reaction to this.
That's my reaction to the...
It's like, the woman should just shut
that's
up.
That's why I hate Jingle all the way. This is, like... Everyone should just shut up. Like, oh, you didn't get your stupid Turbo Man doll.
Okay, wow.
Fuck you, kid. Who cares?
Yeah, honestly, so what?
Instead of like having this entire like slapstick comedy
well, the entire,
over
the
length
entire
he tries,
premise
like,
of it, I
he
find
tries to
terrible.
Like steal it. He like steals it from his under the tree from his neighbor's house. Phil Hartman is his neighbor. And
okay,
like,
so now he's ruining another kid's Christmas.
Yeah, but like very that's good. Supposed to be okay because he's a bad person who's like hitting on his wife when he's gone or something. And it's like the entire thing just circles around this whole. Like this absolute like
well it's like consumerism
like, blurring of what
kid
everybody's
happy,
job is yeah, it's like yeah. You're a stay-at-home mom, he's at this like stupid office all day, whatever they invented for like big giant jacked Arnold Schwarzenegger to go do as like a normie like
yeah
like,
the pretense
white-collar.
That this two huge and, like, jack guy
he,
is actually
and,
lifting weights
and you're
day.
Like and you're like telling him but it's like he needs to like take time off from whatever the fuck that is while you're home like vacuuming to go buy this stupid toy.
Yeah.
And now we're having like a family crisis. Family, like major family, like this like 8-year-old could lose his father because his mom is mad about this dumb toy. And this is just a hilarious romp. It's a holiday classic. Oh, look, there's Jim Belushi. Or John. Wait, which one's the one that's not dead?
I don't fucking know.
I can
never tell
the
difference.
One of the Belushis is in that.
I've seen it so long.
But it's like, it's an appalling fucking script. Appalling idea. I hate it.
Yeah, that kind of content though is everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as marriages, it's supposed to just be a container for you to raise children. That's like the point.
Well, it's also nice and fun and good.
Nah. that's a recent invention. Historically,
right,
it's just been like, this
I'm
is an arrangement
fun.
So
I enjoy
that we
it.
Can
it's
raise
good.
Children.
I like my wife. We hang out.
Yeah.
You well, know, that's optional, like, though. You don't have to actually like the person.
Well, it's not, why not just not if you can't get along with it, just ignore each other.
Yeah, you got to keep it together for the kids. Kids do not like it whenever you have a messed up situation and right in front of them. So you got to pretend. Sorry, that's how it works.
I mean, if
and me and James were talking about this. I actually agree with them. I think if you should keep it together until they're adults, and then when your kids are adults, if you want to divorce, then sure, why not.
But that point won't even matter. Sure. Just like live in different parts
of the
house.
At that point,
it
doesn't matter. You've done your job.
Just like live in different parts of the house at that point, and just like watch different videos on the internet or whatever. Like, I don't know. Who cares, right? Like,
how do people get together with people they hate? I don't understand. I mean,
they don't.
I
just get bored with people.
They don't start off hating each other.
It's not.
I don't. I never understood what the fuck the problem with my parents was, and I never really asked either of them because I really didn't give a shit. I was like, because I didn't want to hear it. I was like, whatever.
I don't know.
I just assume you guys don't like it. I don't know why. I can't imagine you ever liking each other.
I can't picture not being around this lady. I don't know how this happens to people.
I don't know either.
See, my wife is a child of divorce, and I've met both of her parents many times, and I can tell you the problem is her mom.
Wouldn't surprise me.
We don't need a feel-good like rom-com to like get that point across.
Sometimes you just do a little evaluation. And you're like, yeah, I know who the problem is in this situation. It's this one. It's definitely this one.
Oh man, I don't know. It just goes into so many. This triggers so many like high school things in me. When we get a little older, and suddenly yeah. there was all this virtue signaling coming from being like a subverted like lowlife of Jews, like. You don't understand.
Right.
You don't understand anything because you're not like your family's not miserable. Like you're not dysfunctional. Like in the 90s, like if you weren't a dysfunctional family, you weren't a real person. Like you were not a valid
and you weren't allowed to have opinions on anything. And
oh, really?
If anyone was talking about stuff, and like I chimed in, it was like, oh, well, what do you know about anything? Like, you have food and two parents. Faggot. I'm like, oh. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't in so many words, but like that's what sort of like, there was this this trend among people. It's like the only virtuous person was like the dirt poor, like divorced child of dysfunction. Or maybe if somebody was hitting you, you were you won. You were like getting smacked around. Oh my God.
Well, it's like the Jewish bullshit.
Yeah, it was Jewish, all Jewish. Yeah. Entirely Jewish. These Jewish ethics.
Well, I remember in high school talking like when they were doing.
Like if your family like held it together and you're like father provided, or in my case, both parents worked when my sister and I were a certain age. Like, I was like, oh wow, this is like some kind of silver spoons. Like, you're like some rich, like asshole. I'm just like, what are you talking?
Yeah, and all of this is like based off the back of like a historical anomaly where you had an explosion in divorce in the 1970s, and since then, divorce rate has fallen.
Yeah, millennials don't get divorced. Even Xers, I think, get divorced less.
Everybody divorces less.
Well, most of the divorces are like people getting divorced again. Like they become serial divorcees. Like that's a big thing. Like somebody doesn't get divorced once. Like they get good at it. They get divorced like five times in a lifetime.
That's interesting.
And now you've got that padded stat for like incels to like freak out about. And again, that's another Jewish subversion. Like you look at the divorce rate because of those padded stats. You go, well, why should I get married? Is it 50-50? Like there's a 50-50 chance your wife will like betray you if you're like a dumb faggot that can't keep your wife in line.
It's actually unusual for shit like that to happen. That's all like myths. Speaking of, myths. I gotta say this though.
Okay.
Speaking of breakups of families.
Oh no.
Guess whose wife is leaving him?
Mine?
Hayden.
Oh.
Hayden's wife is leaving him.
Who's Hayden?
Michael Edison Hayden.
Nice.
Oh. Doesn't she leave him 6 months out of the year anyway? Is she like a Bollywood star or something?
This was Stryker's thing like years ago. He was like, we should make fun of Hayden because his wife is going to leave him. I was like, let's not do that because if it doesn't happen, we'll look like assholes. And now it's happening.
That's pretty funny.
I don't want to like break frame and mention that guy, but that's fucking funny. Like, in this case, the woman is probably completely right. She's like, legitimately, I want to get my kids away from this guy. Legitimately,
I got to get like the predictable outcome of race mixing.
Yeah,
like you created some like American mutt children out of a half Egyptian and this Indian lady.
Yeah, half Egyptian, half white guy, and like an Indian woman. And it's like, well, you know, enjoy the monstrosity of social life that you've created.
Enjoy like, having just, like. Well, you don't have like those kids aren't going to have four Christmases. They're going to have like four.
Well, I'm thinking that you know they legitimately look. Like I actually, four, like, it's not his kids' fault.
Four
either.
Ramadans.
Like, they're actually innocent.
What holidays do they have? Like when you're a Hindu, like what do you even have? Like, you're
gonna
have
none of these people are
you're
religious.
We're going to have these like your stupid like non-American like bullshit brown people third world holidays.
They're
like,
just gonna,
you're
going
to don't imagine your kids are going to have to like split them up. Now you're going to be living that life. You're going to be living the ultra diverse divorcee life.
Well, here's my thing.
You could win any debate on the school
bus.
Here's
my thing. The best thing for those kids is to get away from him.
That's
true. And for the mom to take them, and they're probably brown enough that
they could just
blend in as Indians and just live like that.
There you go.
That would be the best thing for them, right?
If they're not brown enough, they'll be brown by the street shitting, I'm sure. Splashback.
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of smears.
Well, you know, she's one of these light-skinned Brahmin, like, you know, blee-skinned bleached ones. Anyway, whatever. It's... You know, it's just in this case, I actually approve because you need to get children away from people like Michael Hayden. Like he shouldn't be around children. That guy, he's really,
really creepy. Like face,
he's really a fucked up person who's constantly in and out of psychiatric treatment. By his own word, it's just he's a mess. It's a mess. It's a mess.
Really?
Oh yeah, he's constantly talking about how he's having nervous breakdowns and committing himself to psychiatric hospitals and shit like that. Yeah, he's a fucking mess. Guy's a mess. I'm
Jesus.
Telling you.
Yeah,
he's
that.
All fucked up. Well, look at him.
Yeah, you don't expect it to be like so literal like that.
No, he's legitimately... I've never seen footage of that guy talking where he's not literally shaking. Like, he's like literally every time. He's shaking like a leaf every time he talks. There's something... And from having interacted with him, I can tell you that guy is not well. Like, that guy is fucked up. And then he tells you, like, he's constantly having anxiety and going to the hospital.
Didn't he have, like, a policy document and he was talking about... open source intelligence and how you needed to find yourself a healthy hobby or something.
No, he was basically saying don't feel it, like he's saying this kind of reporting can get on you. Don't feel bad if you need to take a break and do like self-care and like check yourself into a mental hospital. I've done it many times. And I'm like,
check yourself into the mental institution.
No, he's like, check himself. He does it like every year. He's like gone for a few months because he's checked himself into an institution.
Like some people go to the spa. He goes to the psych ward.
Yeah. He goes to the sanitarium.
He gets ECO'd. I mean,
yeah.
It's his favorite song, Metallica.
Oh, the sanitarium. It's his favorite shitty video game. But yeah.
Oh, is that a shitty video game?
It's like an old one of those old like horror video games from the 90s. Sanitarium.
It's basically like, yeah. It's like, hey, let's write a song about that Jack Nicholson movie. Okay, sounds heavy. It's like one Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest, the song. It's really... When you stand back and think about it, you're like, fuck, this is really dumb. It's like one step removed from like a Simpsons parody. So, okay.
Israel bombed another hospital.
Before we move off of divorce, I want to just throw out a statistic that's going to make a lot of Manosphere Spurgs really mad.
Those people suck. And they should
God.
Be mad.
Oh my God! I can't watch that. Oh my God!
Please, I don't want
to
look at.
I didn't mean to. I clicked on something.
Gore?
No, I was just scrolling through Telegram and I saw Israel bombed that hospital they've been threatening to bomb, and I saw a video.
No, they didn't.
Of
you
it.
Did that.
And
you, the viewer, did that.
Literally, there were body parts splattered all over a street that I just saw.
That's
disgusting.
These fucking people.
Well, that's the Onion. That's the Onion headline. IDF says that you, the viewer, bombed.
Yeah, you. I did it by accidentally looking at that video.
You're now culpable.
I was the one that did that.
Culpability transfer.
Yeah,
it's like a bingo. Anyway, it's like an IDF bingo card.
This morning,
it's like an IDF bingo card. No, you did
out real fast.
Go ahead, Alex. Yeah, please.
So the biggest predictor of you staying married is your wife being college educated. They have the lowest divorce rate. College educated women actually have the lowest divorce rate.
That doesn't surprise me. You know, I had this conversation actually with Jamie yesterday because she was looking at...
I thought they go to college to become worthless, dumb sluts.
Because she was looking at... I know, that's what's funny. She was looking at... she was looking at something about Ted Kaye. And she was talking about Ted Kaye, and she's like, do you think that people being highly intelligent leads to them being, like, more insane? And I was like, well, the research into this shows the opposite. It actually shows
like
that,
super smart then.
Yeah. Yes. Well, no. Well, remember we took those IQ tests and you scored really low? No, I'm joking.
Wow. I didn't score really low. I got like a 120.
Nah, you didn't get a 120.
Yeah, I did. It's like you guys were all getting like 150s.
So no, I got, you got, if I recall, you got 118 and I got 128. But
I got 118, close enough. 120.
Right. But yeah, that shit was hard though. Like that IQ test was actually fucking really hard, that one that we took. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We took the same one that Worski and JF took, where like Worski got like a 90. I'm not trying to be an asshole. It was everyone saw it. Everybody saw it live. I'm not saying it. Anyway.
Bless his poor heart.
Yeah. But I think JF also got a 128. The difference was that he was taking it live on air with a timer, and I wasn't. So, oh, actually, you always have to take it with a timer. He was taking it live on air. I'm sure JF has smarter than I am. But anyway, although not, well, whatever. Let's just leave that and not further discuss.
He's definitely more autistic.
He's better at like spousal murder than you are.
All right. See, I was going to.
It's like Jamie's still alive. What are you doing there, slacker?
Well, the thing is,
IQ test are you taking?
Well, here's the thing. Jamie loves walking in the woods. So if I were to like drop her off the side of the road in the woods,
she'll just
make it back.
You're like, fuck.
Right. Yeah. All right. Look, I was gonna just not do that. I realized as soon as I mentioned
it. It's a cheap shot that's there, you have to take it.
I realized as soon as I mentioned
it. I absolutely believe that JF is innocent until proven guilty, and I'm not making
of course.
No
yeah,
judgments
absolutely.
Here are made, absolutely. But I am totally. Going to make the joke.
Yeah, the joke is
if
funny.
It comes up, I'm making the joke. If there's an opportunity, I expect someone would do that to me as well.
In any case, the point being, well, you know, you're still smarter than the average Jew, so there's that.
Why aren't I running everything then? I was told that these smart people run everything because they're smart.
Right. I thought they were just really smart and hardworking.
You've been lied to.
Yeah.
You've been lied to.
Oh, you know why?
Because
I grew up white bread with a silver spoon in my mouth, so that means I'm not a real person.
Hey, you grew up
with
both your parents.
You're bourgeois,
no,
right? You grew up as a bourgeoisie.
Paint store magnates.
Right.
Really.
But, the evidence actually shows that more intelligent people are more stable, more able to manage their emotions, are less likely to have bursts of craziness. So IQ is correlated to better emotional self emotional management, like more stable personality generally is actually correlated to IQ. So somebody like Ted K, who is a genius lunatic, is like actually a bit of just a general anomaly. Like he's just not a normal person.
I don't think I'm a genius. I'm just a lunatic.
Right.
I don't. That's the problem. What's the problem with Ted K? I think
he mails people bombs.
The real problem with him.
And he's a tranny.
Yeah, there was that. Supposedly he considered being a tranny, but then he realized he hated psychiatrists, so he decided just not to be one.
Well, that sounds like a healthy deduction. That's the internal monologue.
I think that's how
should
that
I be a tranny? I don't want to see a shrink, so I guess that's off the table.
No, he was waiting for the shrink, and he saw the shrink interacting with other patients. This is the lore. He saw the shrink interacting with other patients, and he's like, I hate this person, so he just left and then didn't. And then
didn't pursue the tranny angle.
Then just like left the whole tranny thing, and like, I'm just not that. Yeah. Well, the real thing that happened to Ted K,
Did you know that the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded? The only reason you're hearing this right now is because you're only getting half the show. There's so much content you're missing, and you'll never hear these ads again if you get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
First of all, he probably
MK
already
Ultra, right?
He was an MK Ultra victim. Hmm. Like he would basically Sidney Gottlieb and some other kikes like fucked with him with like brainal experiments and fucked them all up. Who knows what would have happened to him otherwise? But anyway,
Sam Brainel feed.
Sam Brainel feed. Sam Brainel freed.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. That's Brainel kind of a tongue twister. I still have this article up though.
Yeah,
I mean on a detour. I just like the.
I like how it says salt.
Yeah, I don't know what salt. I don't know. Is that like a conference he's at? Salt, but I'm just.
I think it's like some kind of
the language, the soft pedaled language about this guy in this story. This is a story.
I gotta stop the show and show this to them. This is something from Swamp Creature that we got a long time ago.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
Swamp
shit.
Creature truck. Yeah, nice. They just brought it to me.
Cool.
Nice.
Is that from Mask?
No, it was just a swamp creature knew that I love pickup trucks, so he said he was going to send me a pickup truck. And did.
Well, that's a small truck, though.
Yeah, it's not a big truck. It's a small
one. My God. You know that deli I always go to, or that store I always go to every morning?
I went there this
morning. I pulled up, and it was literally like...
Big truck heaven?
It was big truck. It was blue, red, and white big trucks lined up.
Didn't hunting season literally just start?
Probably.
Isn't it like November 1st?
There was like a lot of hunting guys,
obviously.
I wish them
success. I wish them all great success with their hunting endeavors. Kill all of those Bambis.
Everyone. I don't understand. Why can't we just kill deer all the time? I almost hit one yesterday.
They literally jump out. Like I was just driving around
so
a curve
tightly managed,
and there was one
like,
standing right in the middle of the fucking street.
What could go wrong? Like if every deer died, like what would really go wrong?
You know who I also almost hit?
Rats with hooves.
Like
John Fetterman. Just wandering
the
back roads.
Like wandering into the middle of the street. No. Fucking turkeys and buzzards are also
we get turkeys
all
the
fucking street around here, man.
Like, I don't know why I gotta go to the grocery store this month. I should just go grab one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's what my dad does for Thanksgiving. He just walks out there and blasts one.
Is there something really wrong with the turkey that's walking around? Like, is there some reason I can't
eat
that?
Well, you just don't know how to slaughter it. Do you know how to slaughter it?
I'm sure I could figure it out. I mean, you just take
the feathers off. Pluck it. You don't really slaughter it, do you?
Dude, get one of those pluckers. It's like the rubber thing spin, and you put it in there.
That sounds awful.
Plucks for you. Like that's what they have.
I thought you put them in like boiling water or something.
No. They have maybe you do that first, but they have this machine that like it will grip the feathers and it spins. So you dip it in there, and it's like it just like all the feathers.
We'll say this. The only thing with killing your own turkey is then you're gonna have like birdshot in there. You gotta dig out.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was going to use my 9mm. Just headshot it, no scope. Don't have to worry
about
it.
Well, just like
maybe
catch
a,
it and
maybe get out the 5.56. You know, maybe just be one tiny hole.
Just
unless
cut
it tumbles
off with a machete.
Yeah, right. Just run up to it. Or I just hit it with the car. Or just drive by and like kick the driver's side door open. Just like fucking stun it.
One time when I was a kid, we like rolled up. We were this rich Italian kid's car. He like praised it all the time, but he wasn't driving because he was like drunk. And so we rolled up, and there was these turkeys in the street. And my friend gets out, and we like got out. We opened all the doors, and he was like, "Get in the car!" Like trying to get one of the turkeys in the car. And like the Italian kid's like freaking out because it's like his car with like
the
plush
fuck.
Seats. Like yeah, he's like, "The fuck, man!" He's like, "Come on, get in!" And he's like, "Yeah, no." Anyway, it was funny, fucking little episode. I was like, get in. And And the turkey did that thing where like its like head sticks out and it spreads its like feathers and
wings. It's like so fucking in.
Freakishly like alien. When
you fucking threaten me with a good meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Don't threaten me with a good meal.
It's like peacocking, like how meaty these wings are.
Yeah. It's like I'm not actually one of these animals that is afraid just based on size. You know, I know that intimidates other creatures, but yeah. So
if you're done trying to subvert my attempts at
That's talking about Sam Brainelfry. Like
protecting Sam Brainelfry.
Oh, yeah, that's a true agenda here, as you know, yeah.
Trying to talk about Hezbollah, divorce rate.
This guy, so you're going to have to educate me.
Well, I'm just reading this one story, New York Times today. So he's been convicted of all of those fraud charges. And this article, it's analysis. Sam Bankman-Fried's wild rise and abrupt crash. Subheadline, this is really shitty. The crypto king, which I suppose is supposed to be Sam Bankman-Fried. He's not the crypto king. Like, that's the first, like, don't. Why are they calling him that? The crypto king gambled that his trading platform would make him a benevolent trillionaire. But after a fraud conviction, all bets are off. Well, I was like, after the fraud conviction, I don't think bets are off. I think all the bets are lost. Please don't read Telegram while I'm trying to do this.
I'm listening to this.
But Mike's not. It's like, do you hear the language they use?
All bets are off.
But after, it's like, no, the fraud conviction's like the bets, like, he's lost. He's going to jail, and he's not allowed to be. He was never the crypto king, and he certainly isn't now. And his trading platform, like, it's not like it's, well, now that he's been convicted of fraud, it's like 50-50 that his trading platform will make him into a benevolent trillionaire. It's like, I think that's all just not happening. I'm pretty sure.
Why is he still a trillionaire?
Well, no, it never made him a trillionaire. Okay. Like, right. The idea that he was going to be so successful with FTX, he was going to be a benevolent trillionaire. It's like, no. No.
I'm trying to grab this article too so I can read
this. Is this a puff piece for?
It's a puff piece for a Jew who was sent to cripple and get under control the cryptocurrency market, who failed because he turned it into a Ponzi scheme because he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. He's just basically.
This is a very strange.
But why are we doing that for him?
Make him a benevolent. Why would I believe that a trillionaire would be benevolent? Like, why not just be benevolent by giving your money?
I'm more offended by why are you calling him the crypto king? What did he ever do with crypto? That anybody in the crypto world would look to him as the king. He's like, he's always been a fraud. Like, I guarantee you, there's not
of curly Jufo.
Yeah, right. I guarantee you, there's not a single like crypto nerd that ever like would mention him as being a relevant fucking like thinker or player in the crypto game as it goes. Not on any level, at a tech level, at an investing level, at an institutional level. He was just the guy. That got a lot of, that like, got, they might not know about, like, the Jewish thing, but he's just the guy that got backing to open an exchange. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's all just totally made up. There comes a moment in the development of a new technology when the hype is so common it passes for common sense. Lawyers, accountants, and regulators are nowhere to be found. Investors insist entrepreneurs take their money. The world trembles on the brink of a change. Like, none of that is relevant to what happened. None of that is relevant to, like, Sam Bankman-Fried was not there at the dawn of the cryptocurrency.
Well, you see the name of the author of this. I always think that's important to point out.
David Streitfeld. Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's obviously it's in the New York Times.
Well, it's the New York Times, so I'm not even going to check. I just know.
Right, yeah. Just so everyone understands, it's highly funny that conservatives are always shitting on the New York Times and even criticizing it of being pro-Palestine or like, anti-Israel. Everything in the New York Times is written by a Jew.
George.
Like almost, it's very rare to see a byline that's not a fucking kike in the New York Times.
Listen to this. Now they admit it. So for .coms, the moment was 1999. For artificial intelligence, it was just over 9 months ago. For cryptocurrency, it was 2017.
Mm-hmm.
6 years ago, Sam Bankman-Fried knew little about alternative currencies, basically. He knew, and he still doesn't.
He doesn't.
He never knew anything.
Yeah.
But he correctly bet there were huge opportunities in grabbing a tiny piece of millions of crypto.
Oh, so he's the only person that ever had the idea of skimming a little bit off each transaction. Like, wow. Like, every Jew ever is like, hey, there's lots of buying and selling going on in the world. What if Jews got a little piece of every single one of these transactions?
Right.
That is basically what they've always done. And they've done it for centuries.
In the blink of an eye, he was lauded as being worth $23 billion. Only Zuckerberg had accumulated so much wealth so young.
Gosh, what's the other like salient characteristic about Zuckerberg?
Yeah. So Zuckerberg was another guy.
Another fraud. I know another Jew fraud.
Well, what they're saying is like Zuckerberg looks like a genius next to
Bankman-Fried. Yeah, they're saying next to Fried, he looks like Thomas Edison.
Well, it looks like space alien. That's a different discussion.
After a speedy trial in Manhattan federal court, really, this is like a speedy trial. The one-time crypto king, again, that's offensive. Now 31, was convicted on Thursday of 7 counts of fraud and conspiracy involving his companies, FTX and Alameda Research.
Here's another question, real quick. What if I had the idea in 2017 of, like, what if I get a little piece of every crypto trade?
I think
and
I
what if I
too.
Went to...
What if I had all the money in the world?
What if I went to Jews investors and I said, I've got an idea. Give me money and I'll build a company that takes a little piece of every crypto trade. What would they do? They would say, get out of here, Goy. Who the fuck? First of all, they would never talk to me.
No, that meeting wouldn't happen.
It would never happen. I would never even get. They would just be like, you just wouldn't even. It would just not exist. So Sam Bankman-Fried, who? How does he get that meeting? Well, because he's Jewish.
Because he's Jewish, and he's Jewish. They have the finance industry under total control.
Yeah, and he gets the ability to pitch this idea because he's a Jew, and it's probably literally like he's the son of some rich Jew, and that guy's like, oh yeah, my son knows about this crypto shit. Give him a bunch of money. And yeah. He'll start a company for it or something. That's like how that shit happens.
So Mr. Bankman-Fried once partied with stars and big shots, doled out...
Big shots?
Yeah.
We don't need any more of those.
Doled out fortunes in looted funds to politicians and himself, was acclaimed as the next Warren Buffett. Again, I like... The next Jew with a lot of money? I mean, more... Okay. Employed his friend, like, he's actually Warren Buffett is a great example of somebody that Sam Bankman-Fried was never going to be because, I mean, this is like here's Heeb and here's regression to Heeb. Like here's a guy with like,
but this feels like such a retcon because nobody had heard of Sam Bankman-Fried till he got in a whole bunch of trouble.
Yeah, that's the thing. I will say I had heard of him, but only because I sort of loosely followed like crypto news crypto and I world. Saw that there was this Jew that was like being promoted as like the fucking hero of it. And then I saw that this exchange, FTX, which I never wanted to fucking touch, was run by this Jew. And I was like, yeah, I'm not touching that.
FTX,
I'm not anywhere near that shit.
I never heard FTX bantied about as one of the exchanges you could use. I'd never heard
I didn't hear about it until it was already in trouble.
Right.
And apparently it was one of these things like with Bernie Madoff, like it was the thing where like if you were rich and had a lot of money, you were courted to put your money into FTX.
Okay.
And when you looked at like it was very similar because like the Bernie Madoff thing, it was all these like celebrities and rich people and like and like rich Jews that got fucked by that, by his literal just Ponzi scheme. With FTX, it was, what was it, like something like Tom Brady lost like millions because he had put a bunch of money into FTX. So they were going to celebrities and be like, put your money in. You'll get it out. Like you'll do real well. Like this company's going places or whatever. Meanwhile, I was like, I'm only going to go with like the company, the crypto companies that I know are run by like libertarian spurgs.
Right.
Because I'll actually, you know, yeah. So anyway.
Where was I?
Oh, he was acclaimed. Oh, yeah. Good.
Acclaimed as the next Warren Buffett, employed his friends and made them rich for a while, was courted by the news media that printed his most banal comments.
This is my favorite sentence here.
For a time, everyone loved Sam Bankman-Fried, with the apparent exception of Sam Bankman-Fried.
So now he's got a terrible inner struggle. He's got a terrible, like, he's got a...
He has anxiety and low self-esteem, so I should feel bad?
He's got imposter syndrome.
What did you say, Alex? We kind of ran you
off. I said, when did everybody love Sam Bankman-Fried?
Well, everybody still does, according to these people. Like, Jews in the media still love him. They feel bad.
The thing is...
The guy writing the story loves
funny,
him.
The Sam Bankman-Fried phenomena existed... literally in a bubble of people like the kinds of people that write for the New York Times. Like people who are actually like longtime crypto users and understanders, like having been a longtime crypto understander myself.
You know, I'm something of a crypto understander myself.
Yeah. Like it never actually entered into my field of view. It was purely a thing for people that didn't know shit and already had lots of money, and it was a media thing. Very similar to Bernie. It's a very similar thing to Bernie Madoff. It's very, very similar, and lots of people have compared it to that, where it was all fucking hype. It was all hype.
My God.
And like, if you were actually somebody like diligently trying to accumulate and save crypto and use it and actually
Whoa. He said this in a congressional hearing. I am, and for most of my adult life, have been sad. That plaintiff's statement appears at the end of testimony Mr. Bankman-Fried had hoped to give Congress last winter. Oh, he didn't give them. He was going to say that to Congress. I'm sad.
Sad. Very sad.
What's before the point his arrest scuttled that? His plans, he was on. He straight says he sad was on to something. What? In photographs from his heyday, Bankman-Fried always looked awkward because he's a Jew. Embarrasses if he would be playing a video game. Even when Gazelle Bundchen had an arm around him. Of course he felt fucking awkward. He was like trying not to. I was like, I don't know if I can rape this girl. It's not my sister. Everyone kept insisting he was off the charts brilliant. Who was insisting that?
I mean, yeah, I'm looking at the picture now.
Yeah, he looks off. He's just like a dorky. He like a looks dorky like Jew. A
total dorky kike. He doesn't look sad though.
But who was insisting? Who's insisting he was off the charts brilliant? Like the guy writing this article.
I don't fucking know, man. This seems like Jews he was just like blowing smoke up their own buttholes.
He was the entrepreneur who would create a future. Maybe he knew better. Like, this is a story about a man that committed a massive financial fraud, got caught, and just got convicted. He was so bad that the Jews were throwing him into the fucking, Club Fed resort for God knows how long.
Fed. Hey, are you still listening? You should get behind the paywall. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and get yourself a subscription.
As journalists and now prosecutors have made clear, FTX and Alameda were run by a group of hapless young people. They just didn't know what they were doing, Mike. They just blundered about. It was just like a big frat party out there, and people just lost billions of dollars. Young people who did not have the required skills, maturity, or patience. I mean, that part is true. Like, they did not have the skills, maturity, or patience to run this scam correctly. Those who actually had a moral compass and sensed something was wrong soon peeled off, leaving a core few who drifted or perhaps dived into trouble.
Oh, my God. Did you see this? Do we need to read the whole thing? Did you see this thing about Sequoia Capital?
That's about two paragraphs ahead of me.
Okay.
Sequoia Capital, a top venture firm that has funded Apple, Airbnb, Instagram, and WhatsApp, all but begged Bankman-Fried to take its money during the mad rush when crypto was shiny and new. When was this? About 2017? Like when crypto was on its like run, the FTX founder did. Sequoia then commissioned a very long celebration of Mr. Bankman-Fried by Adam Fischer.
Oh, God.
A longtime Silicon Valley writer who fell hard for the man whose fans called him SBF.
But hold on a second.
I don't get any of this.
He just said.
This is all just not true, right?
So Fischer then says, after my interview with SBF, I was convinced I was talking to a future trillionaire.
Okay.
The FTX competitive advantage, ethical behavior. Now, here's the problem. It says Sequoia, it was a Jewish firm that dumped a bunch of money into FTX, paid Adam Fischer, another Jew, to write these I'm assuming Adam Fischer's a Jew. Okay, like, I'm sight unseen. I'm going to go ahead and assume that. It's a fairly safe assumption. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but I'm just going to go ahead and assume he is. But then it says they commissioned a very long celebration. And then saying Adam Fischer fell hard for him. No, Adam Fischer didn't fall for anything. Adam Fischer was paid to say shit like what he said. He was literally being paid to say that Sam Bankman-Fried had ethics. I mean, and the New York Times admits this. It's like, guy, writer of the New York Times article, let me explain something to you. When a writer is commissioned to write something, they're not falling for it. They're writing what they're being paid to write.
Yeah.
There's no falling for it. Oh, that guy's a Jew.
That's Adam Fischer.
Yeah, I'm confident in my assessment that he's a Jew. Plus, his name is Adam Fischer, and that's a Jew name.
I was just trying to do the thing where you actually look something up before we just run with that.
But again, like, let's not.
No, there's no reason to do that.
There's no reason not to think that Adam Fischer is not a kike. I mean,
there's no reason. Like, we can make up stuff all the time. It's fine.
Yeah, but this one of all like the risky bets we've made, like, this one was safe.
But yeah, it looks pretty safe thus far.
True.
But, I mean, he might just be a goofy looking ugly white man, but I'm gonna go. He's probably a Jew.
I'm saying we'll hedge the bet like probably a Jew, but yeah.
He's not talking about the current conflict.
Well, he's probably just talking about
the silence is deafening.
Oh, these tweets are all very old.
Yeah. So he doesn't he's just tweet not it. Talking anymore.
Oh, maybe he must have left Twitter because of Elon took it over. He hasn't tweeted.
He probably just
doesn't. He hasn't tweeted in a year.
Probably,
a
probably year stopped tweeting when SBF shit got fucked up.
His last tweet was October 8th, 2022. His second to last tweet, he's retweeting Sequoia Capital. Listen to this. It's selfish not to go broke if you're planning on giving it all away in the end anyway. FTX official and founder CEO Sam Bankman-Fried on a mission to maximize total happiness in the future.
This is why he stopped tweeting.
He retweeted a hype tweet from Sequoia about SBF.
Right. No,
September 22nd.
And then he stopped.
He's not tweeting
anymore because of this scandal. Because he was a hype man. He was paid to be a hype man for this shit. He's too embarrassed to show his fucking face. That's what it is.
The math couldn't be clear, so he retweeted this Ron. I don't know what this is. Is he quoting himself? The math couldn't be clear. Very high risk multiplied by dynastic wealth. Trump's low risk multiplied by mere rich guy wealth. To do the most good for the world, SBF needed to find a path in which he'd be a coin toss away from going totally bust. They are really trying to, like, glad hand the fact that he just committed a fucking fraud. He wasn't a coin toss. It's from 2022. I don't know when it, but it's like he was never. He was not a coin toss away from losing everything. He was doing a crime.
Yeah,
it was a matter of time before the whole thing crumbled because he was doing a fucking old school Ponzi scheme with a crypto exchange. It doesn't fucking work. There was no coins. You weren't gonna toss a coin. It was doomed. He was not brilliant.
What's the date on that?
October 8th, 2022.
FTX and Alameda collapsed in November 2022. Yeah. So he was still hype manning at that point.
Yep.
That wasn't even after the collapse. That might have been when, like, they were facing headwinds.
No, this reads like they're making an excuse for his fall.
It's not,
because it's like SBF needed to find a path in which he'd be a coin toss away from going totally bust. That's something they can say after the guy goes totally bust. You know what I'm saying? That's like you're sweeping a little bit. It's like, well, this was always a risk that it could come crashing down. Like, it's like, what? Because he's a criminal?
Maybe.
Because it's a scam? But
you could also read that as yet more hype. You know what I mean? You could also read that as yet more hype.
But, yeah, there's replies like 2 weeks later. Oops. Other people.
Yeah, no, I think it's.
Wow, this didn't age well.
Yeah, no, I don't think. I think that's like still hype.
How'd that work out?
Like, I don't think that's. Yeah.
Get railed, dude. Delete your account.
Well, he did, effectively. He stopped posting.
He stopped using it. Oh, my God.
Yeah. What book is he advertising in his header graphic?
Valley of Genius, the Uncensored History of Silicon Valley by Adam Fisher. As told by hackers, founders, and freaks who made it boom.
Oh, shut up. As told by fucking Kikes making up a dumb story about Kikes dumping a bunch of money into some shit. Shut the fuck up.
The Uncensored History of what? H-1B fucking hires and...
Yeah.
Anyway.
The Uncensored History of H-1B. That would actually be an interesting fucking book. The history of the H-1B visa program.
After my interview with SBF, I was convinced I was talking to a future trillionaire. The FTX competitive advantage ethical behavior. That's an amazing...
Yeah, no, the guy is actually full of shit.
Less than 2 months after the interview was published, FTX collapsed. Sequoia put up a note at the top of the story saying this was an unexpected turn of events. It later took down the story and wrote off its $214 million investment in the exchange. Sequoia and Mr. Fisher declined to comment. They continue to decline
comment. Yeah, Mr. Fisher continues to this day has not declined to comment on anything.
I wonder if he sends any hearts on Twitter even.
Well, Max Fisher, where's this guy? Max Fisher, what's his name? Adam Fisher. His best bet, go join the IDF.
You're right.
Go fight in Israel. That's like the best way. That's how the best, go fight in Gaza. That's the best way for you to redeem yourself.
The central myth of Silicon Valley is that techies are here to save the world. Who's telling that? Who's believing in telling that myth?
Well,
Is this the bullshit they tell themselves? Like,
yeah, well, I'll say this. This sentence is actually correct because this is a central myth of Silicon Valley. And then he says, okay. And they get insanely rich in the process. Well, that proves how great their idea was in the first place. He's actually correct that that's their
self-justification for the dumb shit.
The story they tell themselves. They tell themselves.
Like, nobody believes. Like, right. That myth doesn't have any believers.
Right. And the problem with the characters in the myth
believe it. That's it.
And the New York Times is sort
it's
of
called
like,
being a legend in your own mind. Like, I'm a myth in my own mind.
Right. And the New York Times is sort of softly critiquing this. even though the New York Times has in the past participated in promoting this. But the other thing is because the New York Times is very heavily tied to old wealth, like old, like Wall Street wealth, like very heavily tied to old rich Jewish investment firms in New York City. They are like white on rice. They are like very interconnected with those people. They also have like a bit of an adult in the room, like healthy skepticism of this flashy new stuff, but it's really just different generations of Jews.
Yeah. FTX allowed people to bet on cryptocurrencies. It was in essence a casino. That's not, is that?
Well, but that's investing. Like that's like Wall Street allows you to bet on stocks.
But that's like a grug, like Marxist peasant, like critique of investing.
Yeah.
It was just a casino. It's like, actually, it's kind of not, but...
Well, crypto is kind of more than anything.
Well, I guess if you're doing, like, shit coins, yeah. But again, it's like... Anyway. It's difficult for even the most sympathetic journalist to portray a casino as a savior. It's like, you're not doing that. You're portraying him as, like, a ne'er-do-well. As a well-intentioned rich man that was going to save the world. Like, he wasn't. He was just doing a pyramid scheme.
Right.
And the fucking pyramid scheme fucked up the plan of... Getting cryptocurrency, like they desperately want cryptocurrency under a tight regulatory thing, and they're inching towards that every year with the way tax law goes. But it's like this guy was supposed to corner the market. Like FTX was supposed to be the only exchange left in the fucking like, as what is there? There's two now. Was there Kraken and Gemini? Are the only ones left in America that you could actually use to get cash for your crypto? It's like there's two left. FTX was supposed to probably knock those two off.
Well, there's still what's that Coinbase? There's still that. That's
no, I don't count Coinbase. If you're using Coinbase, get out of there.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying for normies, it's there.
Coinbase is very shitty.
Coinbase sucks, but it's there. But the point being, though,
so there's three.
The point being,
there's three exchanges. FTX was the fourth.
But FTX wasn't anything different than any of the others. There was no innovation.
Embezzling all the funds out of it.
Right.
He was using it as a.
The only innovation of FTX was that this Jew was running it and became a media figure, generating hype and therefore generating dollars from famous people.
It could be this entire thing to be a conspiracy fucking retard. This entire thing was lie hopped, and he's a crisis actor to destroy fucking crypto in people's minds.
That was because
Tom Brady loses millions of dollars. People are like, well, fuck, I'm not touching that fucking Bitcoin ever again. And I'm just like, good, don't invest in it. Just use it to buy subscriptions from my site because I can't use credit cards.
Well, here's my thing with that.
I would love it if it wasn't an insurance vehicle. I just want it to be a fucking an actual currency that no one can stop me from taking and exchanging.
Right. Here's the thing that was floated that idea.
On top of that, I'm sorry, because I just keep adding, like, on top of it being just a method of exchange, they brought down Library Coin and Odyssey because that's what they tried to build. They said our cryptocurrency is a currency. It's not an investment vehicle. You don't buy it and you're not
spending it. It's not a security.
And the SEC came out, like, oh, no. This is a security.
This is a security.
And we're going to keep
all
fucking
cryptocurrencies are securities, and now your free speech video platform is going to
Yeah, and they just fucking finally gave up in that fight. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go back.
My point was that when this shit happened, people were speculating that in fact the whole thing with Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX was a setup to destroy cryptocurrency. Like, lots of people were saying that. I actually don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is because that feels like just a little bit too clever to me.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's true.
It's more like, no, I think what it is that Jews did what they do. They found a Jew to be the guy that they wanted to be the tycoon to take this over. He didn't, you know, he was some literal fucking nerdy kike that likes video games, is according to them. They dumped a bunch of money in. They told him, take over the industry. And he failed. And he started. And in his failure, he started just committing massive fraud. You know, I was reading.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
He calculated the odds on everything. He thought there was a 5% chance he could become the president of the United States. He figured he would help humanity by making a fortune and then giving it all away, a philosophy known as effective altruism. Now, here comes the catch. You ready for the catch? There's a big catch on that. Big asterisk. The details didn't matter. As a fawning Forbes profile put it in 2021, he's a mercenary dedicated to making as much money as possible. He doesn't really know how. Solely so he can give it away. He doesn't really know to whom or when. So he never gave any money away. He just was a mercenary who made a bunch. He never had any plans to give it away. He just like would talk about like this is fraud all the time, all the way up and down. Yeah.
Well, the one thing he did do was
he gave money to fucking both sides.
He gave money to politicians. Yeah. But the thing is, this story itself, as your whole point is, this is a lie. This story is a lie.
All bullshit.
This story is a cover story of a well meaning kid. That just got in over his head and didn't know what to do.
He was never going to do the other part of the altruism.
You know, they told
he was going to get rich, and that's it. He wasn't going to give all his money away.
They told a story like this about Bernie Madoff too. The story they told about Bernie Madoff is that he, and I'm not joking, is that he came from a like working class family on Long Island. It's not true. His father was a textile magnate.
Oh, like MJF.
Right. So they're saying like he was very motivated to break into finance and
I'm just a poor Jewish boy from Long Island.
Right.
Look how far I've come. That is the best.
Right.
It's the best fucking rags to riches American story.
Well, what's funny is he's actually making fun of the dumb, all the ones, the Jews actually. The reason that's a meme is because Jews.
I came from a 5,000 square foot house in Farmingdale.
Right. There you go.
We only had two personal servants on property.
Yeah, I only
and
grew
here
up,
I am now.
I only grew up with like two or
only
three
in
SUVs
America.
I could choose.
Only in America.
Does he do that bit?
No, I'm just mocking the idea, because if he's doing that bit, that's that wrestler.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
That blocked
me.
Yeah,
no, I know.
That's his, like, gimmick story, that he's just...
Yeah, I'm just a poor rich kid from Long
Island.
Right, right.
Look how far I've come as a Jew.
Right.
I've become I'm at the top of my fake sport.
Right.
And so, here's FTX at the top of his...
mercenary.
What?
Is still, like, laundering his reputation.
Right. No, because they don't want to admit what... Because the New York Times doesn't want to tell you what really happened. They told a similar story like this about Bernie Madoff. What they said about Bernie Madoff
I never
was,
heard that. I only ever heard, like, condemnation of Madoff. Is
well,
like,
yeah,
the worst
they actually
ever.
Condemned him once... Yeah. Like, they condemned him hard once the shit came out. But the story of told about him was that he was... but even so, they actually still tried to rescue his reputation a little bit, even after it came out, which is what they're saying is... He was very determined to revolutionize investing, but he realized that there's basically upper limits to returns you can get on investing. But he wanted to promise more, and so when he took money from people after promising them huge, this is what I'm saying. They
so he lied
saying,
to people to get his money. No,
this is how they covered up the story. It's like he took money from people promising them huge returns, and it's like first of all. Anybody promising you huge returns is scamming you. Okay? If you're selling someone on investment and you're promising huge returns, it's a fucking scam. Everybody should have the common sense to know this. But then they're like, but he realized he couldn't achieve those returns.
Really?
So what he then started to do, and he just felt like he was pressured to do this, and before long, he was in over his head. Is that he just took the money, put it in a bank account,
like reanimated,
collected like interest on it, and like falsified.
Oh, finally, wants
just like falsified all these investment reports, and then you know he was, and then obviously he used hype to get more and more rich people, and they were targeting dumb Gentile celebrities too. By the end, to dump money into it, you know,
the money being dumped in was just being paid out.
It was just being paid out to
the
earlier
that's
investors.
A Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, a total Ponzi scheme.
And that's what Frank Bankman-Fried was doing eventually.
You know, I actually didn't know this, but they went after some of the people that actually profited from Bernie Madoff's scheme
to get the money
back
from
them. Because they were like, because there was one guy who was like an early investor who was getting like 960% returns on his money.
This is
what they were saying. They're like, there is no fucking way you didn't know that you were benefiting from a scam.
You need
so
to give,
fuck
you
off.
Need to give
you have
that
to give
back.
That money back. Yeah,
I hope they did that. That's good.
Anyway.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
So during the trial, I just love that. Like he's a mercenary who's going to make as much as money as he can so he can give it away. Then they just acknowledge he never gave any money away.
Except he did give money to politicians.
But like he never did altruism. That's just when you give money to both parties out in politics. That's just like to try to keep your business from being fucked
right.
with by the
and,
government.
And they the money he himself even said the money given to Congress was he was trying to get them to be smart about crypto. In other words, to not regulate your shit.
Yeah. Can you take Kraken off the board, please? Can you get rid of Coinbase? Be smart. Just leave FTX.
Yeah.
During the trial to merge, Bankman-Fried had spent $15 million on private plane travel. So I guess that's some of the money he gave back.
Yeah, he gave it to the plane crew.
The stewardesses. He never did much to disguise the fact that he lived with some of his FTX pals in a $35 million penthouse. Again, giving back, it's altruism. So he gave that back in rent, unless he bought it. I don't know if he bought the penthouse or was renting. The question of whether these young people should be sleeping on the beach instead of living the high life they were truly following the doctrine of effective altruism never seemed to get asked. Well, even now, you don't seem to be asking that question. Where I'm telling the answer.
They weren't doing any of that. That was all bullshit to get you to fawn over these young, rich Jews, and you still are doing it because you yourself are Jewish.
Right. Like, all they really did, honestly, is, like, build a website.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't do anything. There was nothing. This is very important to understand. FTX itself, the company, had absolutely no actual innovations. Crypto exchanges have come and gone. Some of them, like Mt. Gox, were a fucking scam. Some of them are just places where you can buy and trade crypto and the company gets a commission. This existed. FTX brought nothing new to the table. There was nothing innovative about their product. There were multiple competing products already on the market. There was at least, and in other countries, if you count the ones active in America, America is actually one of the more regulated crypto markets in the world, is the United States. Other countries are less so. But worldwide, there's hundreds of crypto exchanges. In America, there's three or four big ones. But FTX had no innovation to their business model. Nothing. There was nothing new about it. It was just a website where you could trade crypto, period.
From reading ahead, it seems like the innovation was being a Ponzi scheme while saying everybody else was a Ponzi scheme. I'm not aware of other, like, are there other exchanges that were exposed as Ponzi schemes? I know there are exchanges that America was like, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. That
doesn't mean Mt. Gox, the people just... that ran it just stole people's crypto.
Okay, I remember that one.
That wasn't a Ponzi scheme. That was just theft. But like,
well, in 2017, like he's at like. All right, let me get this in here. The magic of starting a new company just as a boom is beginning is at the bar of solos. Like, yes, everyone can be a bull market genius. You can throw darts at the fucking stock ticker and pick winners during a bull market. When Sequoia was looking for a crypto exchange to invest in, FTX was Goldilocks perfect, according to its profile. One big reason, there was no concerted effort to skirt the law. I'm baffled by that statement. Like, the entirety of FTX was skirting the law.
Yeah.
It's a Ponzi scheme. I'm just like, and were there a lot of crypto exchanges hanging around in 2017 for Sequoia to invest in? Like, what is going on here?
There were some, yeah. Kraken's been around since the beginning.
But I mean, they're acting like there were like dozens and dozens, and they just picked one that they thought looked good. It's like, what were there, seven? One big reason. So, Mr. Bankman-Fried.
It's possible that what happened is they talked to Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he was like, you should just talk to my Jewish friend.
Listen to this. Now they're trying to take his comments about other matters out of context. To try to be like he's psychologically, like he was projecting, he was warning you about himself. Mr. Bankman-Fried tried to warn everyone, and then they quote him from an article in May 2022. By number of Ponzi schemes, there are way more in crypto, kind of per capita, than in other places. That's not a warning about himself. That's a warning about shitcoins and fucking like little coin scams. He's not saying like that with a guilty conscience, like, oh, I'm one of them. It's like, fuck off. It didn't matter. Investors, and this is also totally unrelated to like Sequoia deciding to invest in them in 2017.
Right.
What? By the way, what
FTX actually did was the same thing that Bernie Madoff did.
Yeah, they were giving.
They did not actually have. They had the same kind of returns that any other crypto investment thing would have, but they were promising bigger returns as a result. They were trying to get big money investments. They were paying bills.
The old investment or the new investment? Yeah, they can't even say that.
It was just a Ponzi scheme. Because again, this is a classic thing. Jews do this all the time. It's actually quite a Jewish thing to do, and they were just taking money in and using it to cover their expenses, to pay bills, to pay out.
Didn't matter. Investors, customers, and journalists all saw the genius they were told was there.
And they were being paid to say bullshit.
And if they had the slightest doubt, Mr. Bankman-Fried had an ace.
He's Jewish.
His parents were Stanford law professors.
Jewish.
I'm just in stunned silence. I don't know why. I'm always in stunned silence.
Jewish.
She has two parents that are compliance lawyers, said the Shark Tank star Kevin O'Leary.
So what? Both so promotional... he can't possibly commit crimes?
But look at, listen, let me finish the sentence.
Okay.
Shark Tank star Kevin O'Leary, who was both a promotional spokesman for FTX and an investor, so he's got a vested interest to say that fucking shit.
Yeah.
He's in on it. He's a spokesman and an investor. That means
one thing that's amazing about this article is they keep mentioning people who have a massive conflict of interest and are still and is still characterizing them as people who like fell for something or were like bamboozled or like wowed or had like stars in their eyes about this brilliant kid genius Sam Bankman-Fried. It's like no.
Holy
shit.
All of
these people were just in on a scam.
So his parents need to be in jail, too. I don't know if he's going to... He's not going to put the point on that, but here goes. So Kevin O'Leary continues, if there's ever a place I can be and I'm not going to get in trouble, it's going to be at FTX.
Wow.
So Mr. O'Leary may not have known that Joseph Bankman, a tax law specialist and clinical psychologist... There's a fucking Jewish combo. Combo breaker! Finish him!
Yeah.
And Barbara Fried, a professor emeritus, I should call her Professor Detritus, at Stanford Law School, had their attention elsewhere.
Oh, God, here's okay. A picture of his parents.
Well, hold on. Just soak this all in, because the way he sets things up and then knocks them down is baffling. So they may have had their attention elsewhere. What do you suppose he means by that, before I move forward in that comparison?
Let's say again.
Mr. O'Leary may not have known that Joseph Bankman, because he just said he has two parents that are compliance lawyers. I'm not going to get in trouble on FTX. That was his point. Mr. O'Leary may not have known that Joseph Bankman, a tax law specialist and clinical psychologist, and Barbara Fried, a professor emeritus at Stanford Law School, had their attention elsewhere. The implication I get is that, like, mommy and daddy aren't actually watching him to make sure he's complying with the law.
Well, why
because,
would they be?
Because they're obviously, he's like trying to imply like they're distracted by their own work, which I don't know. Like, why would you exactly? Why would they be in the first place? But if you're going to run with that premise, like, what? But
well, the only reason that would matter is if they this is like step by everything. Saying that this is safe because this guy's parents are compliance attorneys. It's like, well, are they working for the company as compliance attorneys?
No.
Well, then
not.
Why does it matter?
But then, so right here. but then
why does it matter? What, he's just got ethics burned into his blood because of his parents? That's
let's look at where his parents' attention actually was. They were distracted by the fact that, according to a lawsuit filed by the bankrupt FTX, their son gave them, through FTX, a $16 million home in the Bahamas, $10 million in cash, and many other things.
I thought there was attention on...
The attention was on, like, they were getting spoils from the crime.
I thought there was attention on, like, the Gaza Strip. Like,
well, that might be right at the moment, but at the time, like, they were distracted from their compliance, their due diligence by the fact that they were receiving, like, massive multimillion-dollar kickbacks from their fucking son and his crimes.
Yeah.
Like, what a way to fucking throw this... On that glowing Sequoia profile, Mr. Brent... Wait, so now we're just shifting gears to somewhere else. I guess we're not following up on any of that. That's just moving along to his father says, I'm very skeptical of books. I don't want to say no book is ever worth reading, but I actually do believe something pretty close to that. He doesn't like movies either.
Oh, well.
So we're just off into a separate... Like,
so now we're just talking about something that doesn't
matter. We're not asking about, like, so...
Who cares what you think about books and movies,
so what about these houses and this cash
how about this massive fraud you're committing? Like, what's going on with that? Who cares? I don't care. You don't like books, but you like fraud.
Oh, my God. It's impossible to read the sad saga of Mr. Bankman-Fried without thinking he and many of those around him would have been better off if they had spent less time at math camp and more time in English class. What if they spent less time doing Jewish financial
class? No, see, here's the thing.
It's not a sad saga. It's the sadness of this saga is it's totally predictable if you ask certain people.
The other thing is this.
There's no one is surprised by this. The sad saga is that, like, the Jew newspaper with the Jew analysis writer is still running cover for it. It's like, this was a vicious crime on the fucking
financial
world.
But the other thing that's important to understand is the story itself, the fundamental framing, even the Sam Bankman-Fried critical framing of this story is still, he was a wild-eyed, spoiled rich kid that went over his head and started committing crimes. Okay? It is not actually still the story. Because when you look at the people involved, one, the number of Jews, not to say there weren't some non-Jews, because apparently you got this guy, what, O'Leary? Like, that sounds like a non-Jew to me. So some non-Jews were involved, but overall, the top people involved in this were Jewish. And it's not simply a story of a corrupt individual or a few corrupt individuals. It is a story of a Jewish attempt to take over a market, to take over a financial sector, to use this company, and the failure to do so and the fallout of that and the legal whatever fallout. But it's not simply one wild-eyed rich kid in over his head. Like, that's not actually the story.
It's laughable.
Which is still the story they're trying to sell.
He just made a mistake and wanted to be famous.
And the New York Times, by covering for the fact that a Jew investment firm gave money and a Jew investment firm paid a Jew hype man to write hype man shit about it, like, that all these people were falling
He just wanted to do effective altruism, which means, like, I'm going to get rich and then give millions of dollars to my parents.
Yeah.
Again, he never gave any money to anybody who needed it. It's like, I'm just going to pay off politicians and my parents. My compliance lawyer parents are distracted right now because they don't work for me. Oh, what a fucking laughable shit. I can't believe we did like the entire first hour on Arnold Schwarzenegger jokes, divorce, and Sam Bankman-Fried.
Well, here we are. Whatever.
That's called content.
It's content. This is just like, thank God for New York Times sometimes. Holy shit. They should be... How does America exist? Like, here's your paper. Here's your big paper of record, and it's fucking smearing this fucking dung heap all over you. And who is reading this and like eating it up? Be like, oh, God, it's so sad. Dude, I feel like, so bad for that. Like, well, people actually do that. I feel like there should be backlash against this.
I feel like it's not entirely. Here's the thing. It's not entirely.
Hello. Thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoa on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, therightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors. We have no mega donors. We have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure, so you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
Hirely, friendly to Bankman Fried.
It is. I can't think of something being more friendly than this.
Other than saying
he didn't do nothing.
The way it's critical is annoying, right? Because it's still.
It's critical and like he's a little lamb who lost
right,
his way.
Right. Yes. Exactly. But it gets worse because I'm going to read the end of this article.
Oh, I was going to skip it.
So
I couldn't
annoying.
Take it.
I can't take it either. Right, but this is emblematic of why.
All right. Everybody, strap in.
Fucking hate. The New York Times and always have.
This is
an example. This last few paragraphs is that I have always hated the New York Times. I've always hated fucking NPR. I've always hated this liberal shit that panders to the sensibilities of like stupid, frankly, Episcopalian people, but is actually written by Jews. Okay? I hate it. I hate it so much, and I've hated it my whole life because I've lived with people that are bamboozled by this kind of shit because it scratches their grundle and tells them they're intelligent. I fucking hate this shit. This is the kind of shit that makes me want to burn every copy of the New York Times in print. It says, as I read about Mr. Bankman-Fried, this is a Jew saying this. Okay? It's a kike that knows the shot and is making up a story for you. But he's making up a story so that people that think that they're smart can continue to think so by telling this is what they do. This is what the liberal media does. They flatter libtards that they're smart by agreeing and understanding the references and getting the kinds of things that they're saying, making them very smart and better than other people. It's such an obvious trick, and it makes me think the people that fall for it are fucking midwits. And you know how I know? I grew up with midwits that fell for this shit constantly. Anyway, as I read about Mr. Bankman-Fried, the historical drama, A Man for All Seasons, kept coming to mind. It's about a man who knows right from wrong and a man who doesn't. Richard Rich is a little like Mr. Bankman-Fried. a young man with huge ambitions and no scruples. He begs Thomas More for a place at court. More tells Rich he would be a good teacher. Who would I know if I were a good teacher? Rich asks scornfully. Your pupils, your friends, and God, More replies. Not a bad public, that. Rich rejects the quiet life, betrays More, and is rewarded with a post in Wales. Viewers are given to understand that he loses his soul. Mr. Bankman-Fried rejected the quiet life, betrayed nearly everyone he knew, and ended up with neither wealth nor Wales. And I'm like, first of all, why do we want Wales? Like, just a lot of blubber and, you know, can't even deal with kerosene. You know,
like the Welsh.
Yeah, I was thinking about that Star Trek movie.
Yeah, no.
Wales.
But my thing is, like, first of all, stop referring to, like, Anglo-Saxon drama. How about talk about, right. Like, this is just like kike, these are just kikes.
At least in that little allegory, he acknowledged that the man had no scruples. That's the closest thing to a condemnation he's come this entire
But it's not just him.
Saga.
It's not just Bankman-Fried that had no scruples.
Right.
The whole thing was an unscrupulous.
What about his parents that took all that money?
They had no
That's
scruples.
That's not true.
But the one funny thing is that here's the one thing. You know, there was a right around when the Bankman-Fried thing was breaking news and the FTX collapse was breaking news. They had this New York Times symposium in New York City, and it was like, I actually applied to go to it because they said it was like, you can come to this. It's going to be like the gathering of the biggest brains, you know, to have like to talk about what the future is going to bring and stuff. And they're like, we're inviting people from politics, media, business, journalism, like all these top fields to come, like people that are the top in these top fields, like decision making, policy making fields to decide like what direction we should frankly take our civilization. And I forget what it was called. But they were like, are you in politics? Are you in media? Are you in business? Are you in these things? Are you a leader in these things? And we want you at our thing to discuss all these things. And they had like 1,000 people or whatever, right? I applied for a ticket, never got a response. Because I said, I'm the leader of a political party. I would like to be able to come to your thing. But Bankman-Fried was a top panel member at this thing. I forget what it was called. But they have it every year. But this year it got attention because before, like right before the collapse, this was announced and Bankman-Fried was on the panel. So what they did was they took the opportunity to have Bankman-Fried be there and just get abuse from the other Jews on the panel. And there was a Jew New York Times reporter who was just grilling him on everything he did. Now, the reason Jews are mad is because they wanted FTX to be a company that ended up being the monopolist in the crypto market. I don't think this was actually a scam to make the crypto markets look bad or to destroy crypto. I think what it was a Jew play to be the monopolist, to put Coinbase, Kraken, Gemini, these other ones that are, you know, running themselves.
What's the one that's been sued and won't exchange anymore?
Binance. Well, yeah. Binance is being attacked merely because it's a Chinese company.
Right.
Like Binance.
Well, it's just easy to like knock one out of the market because it's foreign and just be like, okay, you're gone. Right.
It's Chinese, so they're just sanctioning it. It's not even. Yeah. There's no even allegations of anything wrong being done by Binance. It's just Chinese, so like you just can't use it because it's run out of China. That's it, period.
It's got too much MSG in it.
And they were actually trying to claim, interestingly enough, they were trying to claim that Binance was one of the ways that Hamas was getting funds. And they actually used, one of the funny things was, they used emails of top executives, between top executives at Binance, where they were joking about financing Hamas. And they were joking that this is why they were coming under scrutiny from America. And then they twisted those to mean as if they were admissions that the top executives at Binance were, in fact, funding Hamas. But they were actually, if you read the text messages, they were sarcastic. But then I'm like, well, wait a second. How the fuck did the U.S. government get their hands on the private messages between top members of Binance? And I was like, oh, right, Pegasus. Obviously, I'm not. Or something like that, right? or something
this
like
that.
This or
that right? zero-day exploit.
Sure. Yeah, some other yeah. fucking Jewish like spyware they put on, mm-hmm. on the phones of highly influential people. So, yeah. Anyway. But yeah. Was I leading to a different point? I can't remember. I don't think so. I think everyone gets the point. But yeah, it's not just, again, even the story of like the good boy gets corrupted by all the money and wealth and goes bad is not true. No, this is a Jewish scam. And the reason they're mad at, it's entirely possible they're mad at Bankman-Fried because they're like, you bungled it. You yeah. fucked it up.
Yeah.
You weren't, they should have been like, you know, because really what it was is they might actually be mad at him for getting greedy because they're like, listen, all, you should have just obeyed basic rules of investing and we would have kept your company alive and made sure you eventually outcompeted these others as we sort of slowly maybe starved them like, of funds.
It's like,
but yeah.
It's like, Sam, like, you have to understand you're Jewish, but you're not invincible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the thing right there.
Well, the point was you were supposed to run this thing properly so eventually it monopolized the crypto market.
Mm-hmm.
But you fucked up. And frankly, we're just you and your buddies were just like living in a penthouse apartment and like going to the beach all the time. And like you just fucked up. You actually fucked up your job. And the Jews are like kicking themselves for having trusted this guy. It's like, you know, frankly, you should have. Frankly, what they should do. I don't want to give them advice. I'm not going to give them
advice. Well, it's just funny that they won't like 100% like just drag him. Like yeah. he deserves. Like
well, even they need to tell the story of good boy goes bad in order for people not to understand that it was actually just a massive Jewish scam.
Well, I think you could just drag him without being without making it out to be a giant Jewish scam, making just yeah. like this one guy's scam. But it's just amazing that they won't even take the Bernie Madoff level of like anger yeah. with him. Like they're just like, okay, he's being convicted of everything, but we're going to soft pedal it and give him a soft landing yeah. in Club Fed somewhere.
Bernie Madoff was also significantly more successful than Sam Bankman-Fried. He did that shit yeah. for decades.
Yeah, that's true.
He
yeah.
did that shit for like 30 years before they got that, before like, it caught up with him.
I mean, this is how fragile their whole grip on everything is right now. I think that's what it shows. Yeah. They can't even let you, which in my opinion makes the whole like thing look worse when you're soft pedaling this. I don't know.
Yeah,
that I have a hard time putting myself in the shoes of somebody who falls for all this Jewish crap anymore.
Yeah, so do I. Totally I can't. Wrong. I like, can't see somebody because if I was paying much attention, which I wasn't, to FTX and all that, all the hype around it, I really wasn't. It wasn't until after this came out that I looked back and saw all of it, having been there all along.
Yeah,
because I just don't look at that shit.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening, there is an Odyssey stream where Southern Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
Like, I just don't follow it. And it's sort of funny. It is funny. It was a microcosm of Bernie Madoff because the thing that fucked Bernie Madoff was the 2008 crash. Where suddenly people are like, hey, all that money I put in your company, I want it back. And he's like, yeah, well, I don't actually have it.
Yeah.
And Sam Bankman-Fried was like, once Bitcoin wasn't $60,000 anymore,
yeah,
it's like, yeah, well, we're going to take our money. He's like, oh, well, yeah, about that. It's not really there.
That's what you do with investing. It's like you want to, when the price drops, like that's when you want to sell. That's
well, it also is kind of like he is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
If he didn't anticipate that prices would go down and at some point this money would need to actually be there to cover deposits and shit like that. It's like,
oopsie.
Bro, when you can't cover deposits, what you are running is a fraud.
All right. Yeah. Well, anyway. Let's take a little mid-show break here. Yeah. And
let's do that.
Have some lunch, maybe. I don't know. It's 12:30.
I already had lunch. But, yeah.
I actually had a large breakfast. I don't want to eat, but I just feel like I don't know what else to say to get out of this. So we'll be back.
You are listening to The Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're going to offend you, isn't it funny? La, 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 la.